Thank you for tuning in to the best parenting show on the internet, Post Daily Dose.
Hey, good evening, Facebook. Welcome to another episode of Post Daily Dose with me, your trusted parenting advisor, faithful guide, and servant on the healing journey. What's my name? Big Papa Brian Post. Hello, everyone. I am feeling about 75% better today, and so I had enough energy to hop on here and talk to you about something very important. Actually, this came up in the Lovolution group this morning, and it's always a big topic somewhere or another, kids and cell phones. And so let me give you the Big Papa perspective on kids and cell phones. So most of the parents that I interact with, probably 80% of parents in the Lovolution are, I would say, 40 and over, which means we did not grow up with cell phones. Most of us, hey Jen, most of us did not have computers growing up in our homes. Most of us didn't work readily on a computer until we got to college. Sometimes not even then. It was not until graduate school that I had a pager. I don't think I had a pager until graduate school. YouTube and Google, I think, are 15 years old or 13 years old. All that to say, cell phones are not going away. They are the future. The future is now. There's nothing you can do about it. Hey, Michelle. So here's the thing. The only way that cell phones don't go away is if there's an apocalypse, or if Big Pharma, you know, really screws up and starts turning this all into zombies, which is a possibility. And then you're going to have a lot bigger problems than your kids being on their cell phones. Cell phones give kids access to the world in a way that you and I, as parents, we didn't have access to. I mean, my daughter, who's 15, you know, probably at the age of 10, knew people all around the world, definitely all across the United States. I didn't know people around the world until I was in my late 20s. So that's the good part of cell phones, is the access and the interaction and the culture, the cultural experiences, the opportunities to communicate with people we don't know. The downside are the creepers, the pervs, you know, people who are out to do bad things or say bad things to children before we would like for them to have to experience those things as parents. But here's the thing. If your child is 10 years or younger and they've got a cell phone, you're giving them access to something that emotionally they're probably not ready for. And I think that for you and I, parents who chime into the Lovolution, which are usually parents with children who have early trauma histories, our children may not always be emotionally on par. It's raining out, and I see a couple of joggers. Our children are most likely not on par chronologically with their emotions. And so you have to take that into consideration when you first give them the cell phone. And for a period of time, and you're going to, you know, at some point you're going to realize that this is the same thing over and over and over again. At some point in time, you can only control so much. You can only say to your child, hand me your phone. You can only say to your child, we're going to cut the phone off at this time, and they do it willingly. They will eventually, you know, rebel against that. And that's where relationship or influence and control kind of intersect. You can spend your time with your child building relationship, or you can spend your time controlling them. Now, I'm going to say again, if you give a child 10 years and younger a cell phone, you should probably put all kinds of restrictions on it that you possibly can. You can put restrictions on a phone as long as you possibly can get away with it. But when your children get smarter, they're going to be smarter than you when it comes to electronics and technology. You just got to acknowledge that fact, and they'll be able to do things on that phone that never even crossed your mind to do. Here's the thing. You got to be able to trust your child. And your child, ultimately, is not going to be afraid of you. See, there's so many approaches that we take to parenting that actually plant the seeds of fear in relationships and plant the seeds of parents being the powerful, controlling, dominant, suppressive, authoritative figure. And when that happens, your children are just going to get more sneaky. Now, if your child has a trauma experience, they're going to be smarter than your average kid because they've been through some stuff that the average kid hadn't been through. So they're going to think differently, because I think most of them are geniuses anyway. So you're really setting yourself up for a battle then. So the thing is relationship. At the end of the day, we're all human beings and we all are biologically engineered to be in relationship. You've got to get to the place to where your relationship allows you the ability to influence your child. So a parent of mine brought up this question actually. And I know she has a very growing and budding relationship with her child who is 16. And so there's this dynamic you have to understand, especially with 60. So, you know, I said 10 and younger, you give them a cell phone, you can put a lot of restrictions on it. You get up to 10 to 15, they're going to start manipulating things in their favor. And then your reactions to those manipulations is kind of create a branch for which way you go in your ability to deal with that cell phone, because they can always get someone else's cell phone. You're not going to be able to keep your kids off cell phones. Some parents are going to let their kids have cell phones. So don't create a battle around cell phones. The battle is not around cell phones. This is really not a cell phone issue at all. This is a relationship issue. If you have a relationship with your child, you should not have to be worried about what your child is on or who your child's talking to or what you're what your interactions with your child are, if you have a solid enough relationship. So the mom today said, I can always tell when my daughter's been talking to someone she's not supposed to, because she gets more defiant. She gets more attitude, you know, as she gets a little nastier. And I'm like, that's fantastic. First of all, you're an attuned enough mom that when your daughter is actually talking to someone who's creating a little bit more stress in her energy, you actually pick up on it. That's cool. That's where you want to be as a parent. Okay? When you are tuned in enough to your kid, and that's called attunement. That's the dance between parent and child. That's really reflective of a secure attachment and secure bond. Because parents who don't have that security of attachment and bonding with their children, they don't have that level of attunement. Parents who are chronically stressed are misattuned to their children. So it's really cool if you can tell from your child's behavior, their attitude, when they're talking to someone they're not supposed to when it comes to the cell phone. My response to that is, that's fantastic. Use that as an opportunity to say to your child, who you already know is now stressed because they know. We discount our children's awareness and their knowledge, their intellect when it comes to when they're dealing with unseemly characters. Like, we think our children are helpless. You got some smart ass kids. I mean, they're smart. They're perceptive. We don't grow up in a world like this without having some level of intuition. And a lot of times, yes, children just want to be accepted, but they also know when someone's energy is a little off skew, is a little off kilter. And it takes a lot of rationalization for themselves, a lot of manipulation from the other person, and a lot of you pushing your child away by creating more stress and creating more threat for them to ever go down that path. So keep those three dynamics there. So I'm like, that's a great thing, because when you can tell your child's stressed, then all you really have to do is say, talking to somebody who's not giving you very good energy, huh? And then leave it alone. Boom! And your kid goes, first they go, How do you know that? This is what the conversation is in their head. How does she know I'm talking to this? What? And then they'll say, what are you talking about? Like, then they want you to come forward with it. Don't buy into it. Just be like, honey, I can tell. I can tell when you got something going on that's not in your best interest. Because you get stressed out with me. It pulls you away from me. It makes me sad. But I trust you. I believe that you know how to not deal with those people. I mean, you know I love you. And if you hear something in the outside world that is not loving or that's pulling you away from me or that's jeopardizing our relationship, I trust that you'll handle that. And if you can, I trust that you'll let me know. Would you like more spaghetti? Would you like some tea? Done. That's how you handle it. And let me tell you why you handle it that way. When you can handle your interactions with your child in that manner, you take the behavior and the inner, whoever they may be behaving with or whatever, you take that behavior and you go underneath it to the relationship. You go underneath it and you speak to the core of your child's fear, their anxiety, their insecurity, and you plant seeds of love and certainty and understanding and acceptance and empowerment. When you say to your child, ugh, got someone ugly on the phone, huh? You don't even have to know, but this mom, she's totally tuned in. And her kids, you know, acting like an ass. And all his mom has to do is say, ugh, got one of those creepers hanging around, huh? Kid goes, what? What are you talking about? Nothing. I can tell. I trust that you can handle it. It immediately disarms the kid. It removes the stress because all of a sudden now the parent knows the kid doesn't have to be isolated and feeling like they're hostage to some outer relationship. And they're like, uh-oh. And then the parent supplants this, I believe in you. I trust you. I love you. I know that you're not going to let anyone come between us. Kind of message to the kid. And the kid's like, oh. And that's where your relationship kicks in. And that's where when you're able to influence your kids. See, that's what influence does. Control doesn't have to be, I'm going to check your phone or turn your phone off or who are you talking to. That all that mess, that doesn't build stronger relationships with your kids. And I know that that is not the safest thing. That does not feel like the safest thing. It doesn't feel like the safest thing because you're freaking out. Because you're scared. See, if you can trust, if you can calm yourself down and trust and have faith that who you are and how you've showed up in your child's life is what's going to create the anchor to relationship and keep them safe, and you trust that the job you've done in their life and the regulatory relationship you've created and the influence, and you can trust that, they're going to come back to you. They'll come back to you. You don't have to get into all those control dynamics. Especially 15 and up. Because by 15 and up, oh my gosh, I want you to start at 5. But if you hadn't started at 5 and now they're 15, at 15, you've got to start thinking about what the future of your child looks like and your relationship with your child. You got to start thinking about that. Somebody, I know it depends on the individual, but do you have an opinion on recommended age for giving a child a cell phone? I probably wouldn't give a child a cell phone who is younger than 8. They don't even need a cell phone. They may play on your cell phone. 8 to 10 kind of depends on what the situation in the family is. I don't have any steadfast and true. It really depends on emotional ages. And again, you can put restrictions on phones. You can put restrictions that don't allow them to access certain things. So if they can have cell phones, that's fine. But it's a cell phone these days is like a laptop. You know, is there any hard and fast rules for when a kid gets a laptop? Well, you know, considering that everything can happen or used to, you know, my day could happen on a computer, you know, it depends on how fast you want your kids to learn what's going on and you know, start getting themselves out there in the world. But, you know, we have to, at some point, we have to trust our relationships with our children. We have to trust our relationships with our children and we have to pay attention. We have to be attuned. I think that's what makes the biggest difference. Yeah, thanks, Cassandra. Thanks, Stefan. But that's it, guys. Don't make it too complicated, because it doesn't have to be. It really doesn't have to be. It all is going to come back to the relationship. If anything in your life, because it could be a cell phone, it could be a car, it could be friends, it could be food, it could be clothes, any of these things, they're just dangling fruit on the tree of relationship. The strength of your relationship is what's going to influence the outcome of that fruit every day. The strength of your relationship is what's going to influence the outcome of that fruit. And you have the ability to nurture it and fertilize it and water it and tend to it and get the best possible fruit. Or you can breed all kinds of fear and stress and control and anxiety, and that fruit's not going to look very good. You're not going to be very happy with it when you get it. Remember, in any given situation, we always have two choices. We can continue to react from the same pathways and blueprints of stress and fear and overwhelm, or we can stop. We can take 3 to 10 deep breaths. We can slow down. We can choose relationship, and we can choose love. God bless you. Big Papa loves you. I'm glad to be feeling a little bit better. Tomorrow, I'm going to be feeling a whole heck of a lot better. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good evening.